I want to get into the message, and I appreciate the good special singing we've had this morning. And what a joy it is for God's people to share the talents God's gave them and to lift up His name in song. And I do have a message this morning, like I've already mentioned, that's going to be centered around our theme, and I've also said goal, of this year, of 2016. I didn't come with this up on this with by myself. As the Lord was guiding me in what He would have me preach today, everything just centered around this one central thought from the Scripture. And the more I prayed about it, the more the Lord impressed me. This is what He wants our church to be focused upon this year, more than ever this year, to be the furtherance of the gospel. I'd like for you to stand this morning, if you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, if you're going to use the Pew Bible, it's on page 699 in that Bible. Philippians chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 12 through 20 this morning. Philippians 1, starting with verse 12. And here the Bible says, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, and that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." Father, thank you for the reading of your word this morning. Lord, I'm praying you now help me, God. Just anoint me for a few minutes to be able to expound upon this text. And we'll give you the glory and praise for it all. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. You can be seated. Well, this morning, with the help of the Lord, I'll do something a little different than I've ever done, probably in my entire preaching career. And that is to introduce or unveil a theme or a goal for the church. Now, we've often had goals, and we've talked about different themes, and certainly the gospel has been our number one theme or goal of this church. You may have noticed the large banner as you walked in the front doors up there that we have spread across there. We had that made a couple of years ago for Mission Month, and it was simply the command of the Lord for us to go out into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. And that is certainly our goal this morning. But I was looking at the calendar the other day, and I noticed that this coming August that I will be pastor here for 5 years. It's been 5 years since you entrusted me to be your pastor. I've been here much longer than that as music director, but as pastor, I'm coming up on 5 years of pastoring this church, and what a joy it has been. We have just seen so many things that God has done during these short 5 years. We look back on the times that we've shared, and God has blessed us. I mean, He's slowly added to the church. I'm saying this morning. And I believe in the way that He would have it added onto, without having any kind of gimmicks or any kind of watering down of the gospel. We've been preaching the straight gospel truth and teaching it and sharing it with the world the way that we believe the Lord would have us do. We've been able to add on 8 new missionaries over the past 5 years, bringing up to a total of 11. And what a joy it's been to see our missionaries as they went to the field. Some of them are still in deputation, but most of them are in the field now. And the reports that we're hearing back through their prayer letters, what a joy it is to see the souls that are being reached all across this world that you and I would never get to see. But through our support of their missions, we're getting to see the fruits of that being made over in foreign lands. Zambia, Africa, of all places. How many people would go there? Certainly not by choice. But the Sauter family are down there, and they've been down there faithfully and teaching and preaching the Word of God, and what amazing results they've had. And then we see our missionaries down in Honduras report back of souls being saved, and the Tylers down in Brazil. And friends, we're hearing reports from all over this world of missionaries that we support on a monthly basis, going and telling people about Jesus, and people coming to the knowledge of Christ that you and I would never have seen or talked to ever. And what a tremendous responsibility that has been for us, and a blessing that God has given us. We've reached out to the community. We've shared the gospel with houses door to door. We've sent things out through the mail. We have contacted folks over telephone and over the internet and through emails and just all sorts of media that we've tried to reach folks over the past 5 years. Our online ministry of our preaching and our song services has reached up into the millions of people now. Millions of people have heard our messages over the internet. Thanks to the faithful giving and tithes and offerings, we've been able to help people in the community and those that are in need. We have remained debt-free despite some large projects we've undertaken, such as repaving the parking lot. A very large project for a church like ours, but the Lord has blessed us, and we've remained debt-free. And I believe with all my heart, as long as we're being obedient to God and to the gospel, that He'll continue blessing us. We can look back on the last 5 years and see all these things that God's hand has been in. And to me, it's just such a blessing to see those. And it would be very easy for us this morning to sit back on our laurels and say, well, you know, everything's going good. There's no problems. And the Lord is adding to the church as He would see fit. And He's blessing us. So we just keep on with the status quo. Let's just keep doing what we're doing. And it'd be easy for us to do that this morning. And just praying that the Lord would keep on with what He's been doing for us over the last 5 years. But I don't believe that's His will for us today. I don't believe it's His will for us to sit back and relax and just try to reap the blessings from here on out. No, I believe that His will for us is to continue with the furtherance of the gospel. I believe that's what His intention is for us as a church this morning, is the furtherance of the gospel. I believe with all my heart that if the Lord doesn't come soon, He's going to come in our lifetime. I believe it with all my heart that He'll come in our lifetime. I don't know this to be a fact. I can't prove that from the Bible. But friends, the signs are everywhere. The way this world is today, any day, our Lord could come and rapture us out of here. And this would be our last day on this earth at any day. And so I believe in the meantime, we must contain, we must maintain the gospel. We must further the gospel throughout this world, not just here in our own church, or our own community, or our own county, or our own state, or our own nation, but outside of this nation, into other countries, all the world, there's places we've not reached yet. Do you know one of our biggest listening audiences in all this world is in Australia? Australia. We do not have a missionary in Australia. One of the biggest country or continents over there. Huge place with a lot of folks that are hungry for the gospel. And so they need to hear it. They need to be reached. And we need to reach them. There's other places that we're not in. We're not in places. We're not in Alaska right now. We're not in Canada. We're not in Russia. We're not in several places right now that we need to be in. And we need to see the furtherance of the gospel. But we do need to see it here locally. We need to get in the lives of those around our community and to see the gospel is spread. My prayer this morning is through this message and the leading of the Holy Spirit that you'll get that hunger within you, that thirst within you, that the Holy Spirit would drive you to understand the importance of the furtherance of the gospel for this church in 2016. You know, this letter that we read this morning, this is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church there at Philippi, the Philippians we call them. This was addressed to the saints in Christ Jesus, which were at Philippi, if you'd read the beginning of it. At the time of the writing, Paul was in prison. He wasn't enjoying a pastor's study like I have here. He wasn't enjoying a nice home with a comfy couch like you've got at the house. He was in a prison. And at most times, he was chained to a Roman guard. Chained to him, either by hand or by foot. He was with a guard nearly all the time in his life. He was writing this letter actually as a thank you letter. You know how a lot of times when folks will do something for you, and my wife's good at this, anytime anybody does something, she thinks about the thank you notes. I'm not as thoughtful like that. I enjoy the things that are given to me, but that's not my first thought is to send a thank you note, but she does that. But the Apostle Paul is sending a thank you note to this church. And in the thank you note, he's describing the things that had happened to him. They know he's in prison, and they're okay with that. He's been arrested for the wrong reasons. In fact, he was arrested for no reason. He's been wrongfully accused and put in prison. And that's where he's at. And so he's writing this letter as a thanks, but he's writing it to them to let them know, despite his circumstances, despite being wrongfully accused, wrongfully put in prison, and all the things that's happened to him, all the stripes that he's had to endure, the beatings, the hunger, and all the pain that he's went through, all the trials, despite all that, that he was still remained full of joy. Full of joy. And so Philippians was about joy and serving and suffering and believing and giving all through Philippians. But as we enter this section of it, we see the side of Paul that we need to understand. We all know Paul's background in history. If you don't, Paul started out as a zealot. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a persecutor and a prosecutor for the Jews. He was on the Sanhedrin court. He was a bloodthirsty man. He was a zealot for God, but he didn't understand Christ Jesus. And he hated the spreading of Christianity. And he wanted to see all Christians destroyed. And so that was Paul's number one goal, is to stomp Christianity out of this world. And the Lord got a hold of his heart. As he was on his road to Damascus to persecute more Christians, the Lord struck Paul down on that road to Damascus, and Paul trusted him as his Savior. As the Lord struck him down and revealed to him the truth of the gospel. And so now, ever since that point, Paul's heart, that zealot heart that he once had to persecute Christians, is now full of zealous to spread the gospel, to see the furtherance of the gospel. He is hungry for it, and that's his number one thought in life. Beyond his own well-being, beyond his comfort, beyond anything that he could gain, he thought of the furtherance of the gospel above all things, above everything. Look at our first verse there, verse 12. He said, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." I want to tell you this morning, I've got 3 points in this. The first point is the furtherance of the gospel is needed despite your circumstances. The furtherance of the gospel is needed despite your circumstances. Many people will say to you today, "Well, I don't have the gift of doing this or that. I don't feel that God has called me to evangelize the world. I don't think that that's what I should do. That's not my strong point." I used to be in that position. Friends, I stood and told God face to face as he was convicting my heart that I need to be a pastor, that I need to preach. I told God that he had got the wrong man. "God, you know me. You know my how I am and how I'm backward. I'm shy. I can't look people in the face. And I will start stuttering if I have to speak in front of anybody. And I don't understand your word. And how could I possibly teach other people about you and tell them about you?" And finally, I submitted his will and I accepted the call to preach the gospel. And I want you to know that I didn't go to any self-help class. I didn't go and get somebody to tell me how to conduct myself as a preacher or a pastor. I didn't get anybody to train me or anything. You know what I did? I just followed the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And God opened my mouth to be able to speak. Before that point, if you'd come to me, I would have looked at you like this. I mean, I would have had my head down. I couldn't look at you in the eye. I was so backward and shy, I wouldn't speak. And friends, it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit I'm able to even stand behind this pulpit today. So before you tell me that's not my calling, that's not what I do, I want you to think about that this morning. It's not you. Did you hear that song that was sung this morning? God uses uncommon people to do his uncommon thing. He uses common people to do uncommon things. And he can use you despite your own thoughts and your own what you may think is a negative thing for you. God can use that for his glory and for his good. Paul says right here, "I want you to understand this, brethren. I'm in prison. This is not a good place to be. This was not the Ritz Hotel, okay? It wasn't the Marriott downtown. This was a Roman prison. Paul did not have it good." He says, "But you know what? I want you to understand this is not a good place. But despite all this, it's enabled me to further the gospel. Brethren, you're not going to believe what I've been able to do here in my bonds. And if you notice throughout the Bible, Paul says he's a bond to Christ. And what he's saying there is, I'm a slave to him. I'm his servant. And whatever he wants me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And because I'm doing this, do you know what? The gospel is being spread even further. They thought they were going to shut me up, but all they've done is opened up a big can of worms because I'm going to keep preaching it. And I've got the opportunity to preach in front of everybody now. I'm in prison talking to the soldiers. I'm talking to the guards. I'm talking to the other prisoners. And I'm spreading the gospel like never before. So Paul is actually excited. He's furthering the gospel despite his deplorable conditions. Despite his circumstances, being locked up, being shackled to a guard. And you know what I notice in Paul's life? He takes no thought of himself at all. How many people today, your number one thought, and we talked about this in Sunday school this morning, our number one thought too many times is about us. What's in it for me? What am I going to gain from this? What am I going to lose from this? And it's all about us. And it shouldn't be that way. Paul had no thought of himself. All he thought about was the gospel of Jesus Christ. Most people in Paul's circumstances would have been fighting tooth and nail to get out of that prison. We'd been contacting lawyers. We'd want the news to broadcast all the bad things that's happened to us and how terrible it is, our plight that we're under, that they've wrongfully accused me and I'm in prison now. We'd want CNN to do an interview with us and all these things to try to help ourselves. Paul's not doing any of that. Paul's not sitting around feeling sorry for himself. He's not appealing to his lawyers. He's not doing any of that. Despite his treatment, he would gladly give up his own self-preservation to be able to further the gospel. The number one thought that he has is to spread the gospel. But our thoughts are not much like that most of the time. Paul reached a point in his life where he no longer thought about himself. That's why he tells the church in Galatia, over in Galatians 2 and 20, he said this to them. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, Paul now only lives for the Lord Jesus. He's learned to get the selfish wants and needs and desires out of his thoughts. And his number one thought when he wakes up in the morning is, what can I do for the Lord? Lord, what can I do for you today? Instead of, what can I do for myself today? Or how can I make myself better? He says, Lord, how can I do things for you? He says, the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. Look at our next verse, verse 13. He goes on to say, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places. Second point I want to make this morning is the furtherance of the gospel is needed to reach places otherwise unreachable. The furtherance of the gospel is needed to reach places that are otherwise unreachable. Now, I talked to you this morning as we began this message about the missionaries that we support. 11 different missionary families that we support. Brother Eric Peters, here in our own country, going to prisons, going to where the teenagers are locked up over in, Morristown or wherever the detention center is for the young people. He goes to the naval prisons. He goes all over this country preaching the gospel in prisons. And we're getting back reports from him of all these people that have come to the knowledge of Christ through the preaching of the gospel. And friends, that's more fruit to add to our account that we've been supporting Brother Eric Peters that way. We would not typically be able to go into prisons and do that. He's able to. The Lord has enabled him to do that through his ministry. Now, we were not able to do that, but he can. And so through him, we're able to help further the gospel in places that are otherwise unreachable. I spoke the other day in our Sunday school class about the family in Kazakhstan. I don't know if you've ever listened much to what Brother said. They were here one time and were not allowed to put their messages on the internet or their videos or anything like that because they live in a very, very dangerous place in the world, a place where the gospel is illegal. They're not allowed to preach Christianity where he's at. And so he's creating underground churches. He's over there on a work visa to be able to teach people, but he's able to go underground to churches and to get other people that live in Kazakhstan and they come to the knowledge of Christ and then he trains them to pastor and to preach. And he's in a very dangerous spot over there, a place I'm not able to go. I couldn't go there if I wanted to go unless the Lord made that opening for me. It's very difficult for them to get in there. Their goal was to get in there years ago and they had to stay in Korea until they were able to get there. And so, friends, that's a place that is otherwise unreachable, but through the power of God, He's enabled the family to go over and to reach those folks. And so that's a place that the gospel needs to be spread. Paul told this to the church in Ephesus over in Ephesians 6 and 19. He said, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Friends, Paul looked for any opportunity, and he prayed that God would give him boldness to speak. Did you see the title he gave himself there? He said, "I am an ambassador." You know what that is? That's the spokesperson for a place. "And I'm going to be a spokesperson for Christ," is what he said. He took that responsibility on himself. "I am an ambassador for Christ. I'm going to usher in and come in and tell people about the King that's coming. I'm His ambassador." And he spent all of his time in dwelling upon that thought to further the gospel. It seemed that Paul stayed locked up more than he was free. All through the Bible, we see where he says, "I'm in bonds. I've been locked up. I've been beaten. I've been with many stripes and stoned, left out of the city for dead." All these things that's happened to Paul, it seems like he was in prison more than he was free. But this has enabled him to speak boldly. Boldly. He said, "I want to speak boldly in the name of Christ," in places he otherwise would not have been. Paul prayed the Lord would give him the boldness he needed to be able to reach even the hardest of criminals, to reach the Romans. It was always Paul's desire, and he tells us that in the Scripture. It's always his desire to go to Rome. He may not have been able to go to Rome except for under being a prisoner of Rome. And so that's what happened. He became a prisoner of Rome. He got to go to Rome. And that was his heart's desire. We can get an understanding of how determined Paul was to preach to these folks by reading the last chapter of the book of Acts. Over in Acts chapter 28 and verse 16, listen to this, what Paul says. This is about his imprisonment in Rome. It says, "And when we came to Rome," this is Luke writing this about Paul, "and when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, 'Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who then, when had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, I have called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain.' And they said unto him, 'We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came and showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets and from morning till evening.'" Paul purposely allowed himself to be arrested and taken to Rome so he could go before Caesar. His heart's desire was go before the biggest authority in all the land to spread the gospel to him. And that's what he's got to do. And he gets to go up here and he calls this big council of these Romans together, and they all come. The Bible says they all come to where he was at, where he's locked up with that guard. And he starts expounding unto them the truth of the gospel. He uses the Old Testament, he uses the prophets, but he preaches to them about Jesus. And it says persuading them concerning Jesus. In other words, Paul's preaching persuaded them to trust Jesus. My, what a thing that was to be. You know, these Romans, they were steeped in paganism and God worship. Not the God of heaven worship, but all these other gods, the Greek and Roman gods that we hear about, Zeus, Achilles, Mercury's, all these types of things. And so Paul wanted to reach them with the real God, and he was able to. You know, spreading the gospel in Paul's day was difficult. Paul, if he wanted to go somewhere, had to travel for many, many days. He traveled by foot. He traveled by ship. But it was a troubling time. And he even writes about some of the times he's been in and how they were robbers. And he was in the cold and in peril and naked and hungry. All the things that he endured to spread the gospel. Today, we've got it easy. But yet today, we don't spread the gospel. Today, we're afraid. We're afraid somebody's going to make fun of us. Paul could care less if anybody made fun of him. In fact, that just gave him more encouragement. It just made him want to further the gospel. Today, can you imagine today if Paul had the tools available to him today that we have? What if Paul had the World Wide Web? Do you know I can leave this service this morning, I can get on the World Wide Web, upload this sermon, and reach over 1 million people within an hour. In 1 hour, I can reach over 1 million people. It would have took Paul his whole lifetime to reach 1 million people. Friends, I want you to know today that if Paul had the tools available to us today, he would have been using every means possible to further the gospel. Why are we not doing everything possible today? Why are we sitting back and just hoping somebody else does all the work for us? Why are we not using the mail system? And why are we not using the internet and anything else to our means, the radio waves, anything, to tell people about Jesus because it's there for us and available? What Paul could have done today. But despite the tools we have, despite the ease of it, I mean, it's easy today to spread the gospel. The majority of people today are reluctant to spread the gospel. For one reason or the other. And I don't know if it's out of fear, out of being intimidated, or just not having the faith that God's going to help them do it. But too many people today are sitting back. People that are Christians, that are church members, that are unwilling to share the gospel. Friends, our goal this year should be the furtherance of the gospel. Look at 14. Or verse 14. He says, "And many of the brethren of the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." The third point I want to make this morning is the furtherance of the gospel is needed to give other Christians confidence and encouragement. Do you see what's happened to Paul? Now, some of these men that became bold because of Paul's imprisonment were getting bold for the wrong reason. Paul was now locked up, and they felt that they could share their version of the gospel any way they wanted, since Paul wasn't in the way. But a big majority of them now were bold because of Paul's imprisonment. They saw that he was able to keep spreading the gospel. And this gave them a boldness. This gave them encouragement. They saw Paul as a hero. Paul didn't ask to be a hero. He never asked to be a hero. But Paul did ask for people to look to him and the way he lived and to live as he would live and the way he lived for Christ. And the way you live for Christ can be an encouragement for your other brothers and sisters in Christ. The way you conduct yourself, the things that you do, you can be a great encouragement and give other people boldness to be able to further the gospel. If you I think of it a lot of times like this. If you take a book of matches and you pull one match out and you strike it and you hold that book up and you light that first match, every one of those matches, it just goes across just like that, like a wildfire. Friends, that's the way the gospel is today. One person can stand up and start furthering the gospel, and other people can see them and hear them, and it gives them boldness and encouragement to want to do the same thing, and they want to go, and they look up to that person and say, "If they can do it, I can do it." And it just gives them the boldness to be able to do it, and then that person goes and spreads the gospel. Somebody sees them spread the gospel, and they say, "If they can do it, I can do it." And they go spread the gospel, and it works like that, and it catches on fire, and then we'll see this whole community, this whole county, this whole state, this whole nation get on fire for God. One person could start that fire today. One person. It could be you. It could be you, that person that says, "I can't do this. I can't do that. I don't have the talent or the ability." It could be you sitting here today on this pew. You say, "Well, I've never done that." Well, maybe you should start doing it. Maybe it's you that God's waiting on to see revival break out. It could break out, friends, just like that. The preaching of the gospel, the furtherance of the gospel is needed to make people more bold to speak up through the word without fear. Paul, as I mentioned, he didn't ask to be a hero. But listen to what he said in 1 Corinthians 11, 1 and 2. He said this. He said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." Paul wasn't saying, "Hey, look at me, I'm a superhero, I'm a super Christian, do it this way or no way, because I'm the best." He wasn't saying that. His motive wasn't get the attention or glory for himself. His motive was to get attention and glory for the Lord Jesus. As he said, "Do it the way I'm doing it. Look at my life and see how I'm living for Christ. See the way that I'm speaking boldly. See the way I'm spreading the gospel. Understand the way to live as a Christian and do these things, and then we'll see all this take off. We'll see more gospel being spread everywhere." Paul wanted to be an example to other people. not to get glory. He said this and over further in 1 Corinthians 10:33. He said, even as I please all men and all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. His purpose was that men would be saved. And to further the gospel, Paul was an example to other Christians. And what a great example he was. Because of his relentless pursuit, because of the joy he maintained, even in his predicament, even in prison, even in bonds, he was able to further the gospel. He went about the Father's business despite his circumstances. We'll be finished at this verse right here. I want to skip down to verse 19. Verse 19. He goes on to say, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. I guess I had 4 points and I'm done. The furtherance of the gospel is needed to magnify Jesus Christ. Period. The furtherance of the gospel is needed to magnify Jesus Christ. Paul is saying that in all these trials that he's had to face, all the hardships, all the mistreatments, all the stripes, all the hunger, all the pain, all the peril, all the stoning, all these things that he's had to endure, despite all of that, it's just enhanced his desire to further the gospel. It just enhanced it. He wants people to know the saving grace of God. He has nothing to be ashamed of. He can approach the judgment seat of Christ without shame. He can know that he did what he had to do, what he needed to do, and that was to further the gospel. And he can approach the throne of grace boldly. And he saw that Christ was magnified in his life. And do you see what he said in that last part? Whether it be by life or by death. Friends, if you read Paul's obituary, there was nothing to be ashamed about. Paul's obituary could have given out the big list of things that he'd done for the gospel, the furtherance of the gospel. I had a friend or a schoolmate that passed away this past week, and there was a large obituary, and it told of all the wonderful things that she was able to accomplish in this world, in different areas of the world. But I didn't see anything in that large list of things about the furthering of the gospel or about a life given over to Christ or any of that. Friends, what about you today? What would people say in your life, first of all? He said either in life or in death. What about your life? Can people look at you and say, that is a Christian? That's how Christians should work. That's how Christians should live their life and speak and act and look. That's a Christian. Are people seeing you that way? They should. If you're saved today, they should see you that way. Paul said, whether in my life Christ is glorified or in my death. What about when you go from this walk of life? What will people say about you? They lived a life for Christ. Every time I saw them, they were talking about Jesus. Every time I heard them speak, they were mentioning the name of Christ. They were talking about church. They were talking about spreading the gospel. They were talking about missions. They were doing something like that. Will they say that about you? Or will they not? I want to ask them to come this morning and get the invitation song. I want to ask you a question this morning as we stand. If you're able to stand this morning, let's stand. And I want you to examine your heart this morning and your life. I want you to look back upon this last year. And can you tell me honestly, can you stand before God honestly and say to Him, God, I did everything in my power in 2015 to further the gospel. Can you say that honestly? I can't say that. As much as I tried this past year, as much effort as I put into it, I didn't do enough. I could have done more. There were times that I was weary, and I said, I'm just not doing it today. I'm not going to. But what about this coming year, 2016? Will this be the year that you can say, Lord, I'm going to do everything in my power to further the gospel, whether it be to call people on the phone, whether it be to send folks things through the mail, whether it be go and knock on doors in the community, whether it be to add more support to missions, whatever it may take, Lord, to further the gospel, I'm a willing vessel to do that for you today. Is that you today? Are you willing to do that? If you are today, I want you to pray as we pray together. And as Brother Roger leads this song, I want you to pray and ask the Lord to help you with that today. Let's pray together.